The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
You're listening to BGN Radio.
Why would you listen to any other Eagles podcast?
With John Stolmes and Brandon Lee Gallagher.
You are listening to BGN Radio, your source for the best Eagles news and analysis in the game. This is episode 57, brought to you by the fine folks at SB Nation and Bleeding Green Nation. I am your host, Michael Kist. Follow my work at bleedinggreennation.com. Follow me on Twitter at MichaelKistNFL. That's K-I-S-T. Today, I am joined by the man that makes BGN Radio what it is. He is the kingmaker over at Bleeding Green Nation. He is Brandon Lee Gouton. Follow him on Twitter at Brandon Gouton. Brandon, how you doing, brother?
Mike, doing good. Another day of Eagles practice to talk about, so let's get to it.
Yeah, absolutely. And before we get into like the whole discussion and into the main topics that we have here today, which is going to be what happened at organized team activities earlier in the day, I want to give a quick update on what you can expect from the BGN feed this week. The Kist and Solak show will return tomorrow. We'll be starting out our yearly installment of the Eye on the Enemy series, where we take an in-depth look at the Eagles' divisional rivals and other teams we feel will be big-time contenders in the NFL season upcoming. Those will take us right through the better part of the summer. So make sure that if you have a friend, for whatever reason, that is a Giants fan, that you tell them to tune in, because we're starting off the series with the New York Giants. Again, that'll be tomorrow. Also, you're going to get a fresh QB SCO show with myself and Mark Schofield this week. We're going to cover a range of topics, and we're also really excited to talk about the conclusion of Deadwood. Also, your regularly scheduled BGN Radio later this week with John Stolmes and Brandon Lee Gouton will be there for you on Friday morning, like clockwork, just like it is every week. So stay tuned for all of that and more by subscribing to Bleeding Green Nation Podcast on whatever app you're using to listen to this. And while you're here, if you would kindly see your way to the Apple Podcast review section, drop a line telling everybody how much your life was complete once you subscribe to the BGN Radio feed. Leave 5 stars. BLG, would you believe that when I checked earlier today that we are a mere 2 5-star ratings away from 900 total 5-star ratings? Would you please use the powers available to you as supreme leader of BGN, encourage at least 2 gentle listeners, hopefully more, to make their voice heard about the type of Eagles coverage they want in their life?
Gentle listener, you may not know this based on how Michael Kist edits this podcast, but he's having some trouble getting through this segment, and only you can help him by, you know, using your power to go there into the, and it's not iTunes anymore, apparently. iTunes is dying. It's Apple Podcast, right?
Yeah.
And it's not just for us. I mean, obviously, we would greatly appreciate if you leave us ratings, reviews, all that feedback. It's also for yourself and your fellow Eagles fan. Think about it. You know, you have other Eagles fans out there that might not know about BGN Radio, and you, the gentle listener, being a good person, can help share this podcast. If you like it, obviously you're listening to it, there could be someone in your life or someone else out there that could benefit from listening as well. And by doing your duty to leave these ratings and reviews, then you, not only can you help cure Michael Kist, but you can also share the good word with the people out there. So please do it. Thank you.
See, this is where this comes in. My experience as a podcaster, I know when I'm struggling. I'm just going to kick it right back to you. So one more thing before we get to OTA talk, organized team activities on June 3rd. I want to talk about Joe Douglas. And it is kind of tied in with OTAs because he was there. And apparently the Jets are done with their round of interviews and they have not made a hire yet. What was Joe Douglas up to today, BLG?
Well, he was not wearing Jets gear, Mike, which is surprising because Mike Lombardi said he wants to leave the Eagles. And maybe that'll happen. You know, I'm not doubting that Joe Douglas could leave. He had his interview. Apparently they had dinner with the Jets on Saturday night, and then the formal interview was on Sunday. And now the Jets interviewed Champ Kelly from the Bears. And I think if reports are to be believed, media reports, I think that's really the only four candidates they were talking to. It was Scott Fitterer from the Seahawks, Terry Fontenot from the Saints, and then Joe Douglas and Champ Kelly. So it's possible that they've interviewed all the guys they wanted to, and we'll see what decision they make now. So maybe as soon as, by the time this podcast comes out, Joe Douglas will be hired by the Jets. We'll see. It seems like a decision's coming there soon, though, so I guess we'll see one way or the other if Joe Douglas is leaving or not.
Yeah, the clock is ticking on that. If anything happens between the time that we record and this thing gets uploaded, I will definitely throw in an update in there for the listeners. But let's talk about some organized team activities that went down today, Monday, June 3rd at the NovaCare Complex. I actually want to change it up. Normally, we swoon over Carson Wentz for the first 10 minutes. And we're still going to do it at some point. There's a reason he's starting to get more buzz as we inch closer to the season. But I actually wanted to start on the defensive side of the ball. From the sounds of it, the defensive backs, they're just out there having fun. And I remember seeing Rasul Douglas go around with a microphone interviewing players in the locker room, including asking Cravon LeBlanc why they call him Straps. And LeBlanc, just like, his face just lit up. They seem to be like a really tight group. And speaking of cornerbacks, just talking about the youth of the group, Ronald Darby, Jalen Mills, Cravon LeBlanc will all be 25 when the season starts. Rasul Douglas, Avonte Maddox, and Sidney Jones are 23. Even the guys like Jeremiah McKinnon and Josh Hawkins are like 25 and 26 respectively. With all that youth at the position, you're really hoping that a couple of them can have a serious breakout. And barring injury, like, my money is on Sidney Jones, who Doug Peterson made a note of today for playing really well. I could definitely see it for Rasul Douglas. Peterson also praised him for having a good spring process. And even a more established guy like Darby, I've always been very high on him. I think he's got legitimate Pro Bowl potential, and you just hope he's recovered from the ACL and has a full healthy season. Overall, there's a ton of competition in that group and a ton of potential. If you had to guess, BLG, what are gone to your head, as they say on Birds with Friends, yes, Friends of the Podcast, do you have a favorite for a breakout candidate from that group based on what you've seen at OTAs or just in general?
Yeah, good question. I mean, do I consider Avonte Maddox a breakout player? You know, because
I think he could be.
Yeah, he had that good rookie season last year. Obviously, he had some struggles later in the year, but Avonte Maddox just makes plays on the ball. Like, that's something that's very, like, you can't watch an Eagles practice and miss Avonte Maddox. It's like, whoa, where was he today? No, you're going to see him because he's always going to make a play on the ball. He did today with a pass breakup on a Clayton Thorson pass to Braxton Miller there. It was in Miller's hands. He was about to make a nice catch on it, and nope, in comes Avonte Maddox flying in, knocks it out of his hand. So that's something you see from him. I think Avonte Maddox has to be on the field. That's something we've said in previous OTA recaps, that he makes too much plays to not be on the field in some capacity, no matter where he lines up. And he was lining up again in the nickel today, as opposed to last week where he was on the outside. And Sidney Jones was back on the outside today, and Rasul Douglas, obviously, with the first team defense as well. I just love the energy those guys bring. And obviously, they're a younger position group, as you touched on there, Mike, but also they're a little bit more experienced now. You know, this isn't like a group of rookies like they were, you know, with Sidney Jones and Rasul Douglas being rookies in 2017 or Maddox being a rookie last year. Like, these guys have some experience under their belt, and I think that kind of only helps their swagger. Like, they're even more confident than they were before, having that NFL experience now. And I like to see that. And it's fun. It's just, they're a fun group to watch. A moment that stood out to me in practice today was, it's not kind of super consequential, but they were doing a special team drill where Rasul Douglas is lining up as a gunner, and it was Trey Sullivan and Jeremiah McKinnon, I think, or someone, one of the other defensive backs, as jammers. And they got a good jam on Rasul at the line of scrimmage. And then, you know, the whistle blows, the drill is over. But, like, Trey Sullivan just starts to, like, windmill dunk over Rasul as if there was, like, a hoop behind. It's just kind of, like, it's small things like that that are just kind of funny. Like, that group just loves to have fun. And they're always talking and they're laughing and they just have a really good energy around them.
So they're having fun. They're competing. And you know, another reason you mention it, Sidney Jones, a rookie in 2017, but really had mostly a redshirt year, didn't show up until week 17 against the Dallas Cowboys, started on the outside. I thought he played well, really had his rookie season in 2018 and started out really hot. Like, people forget how good Sidney Jones played in those first three games, especially in the Colts game. And look, the hamstring injury, things start to go downhill, doesn't play as well, sees a little bit of struggles. There's some communication issues. I remember some in the Titans game with him and Corey Graham. They weren't on the same page. Those things are going to happen when you're a young player and there's changes in the defensive backfield. So again, if he's healthy, like, he's the guy I'm really looking for. And keeping it with the defensive backfield, let's go to safeties. Malcolm Jenkins is still a no-show. No word on if he'll return to mandatory minicamp, which starts on June 11th. I think we've made it pretty clear, at least me and you have, BLG, that if it's a matter of money, that the Eagles need to pay the man. So we'll continue to update you on that situation. Beyond that, Rodney McLeod was participating for the first time in front of the media. He's a guy that when I went back to his film, speaking of guys that really balled out in the beginning of the season, you kind of forget about. When I went back to his film early in the season, he was super impressive to start the season. He was creating turnovers. He was making plays on the ball in the air. He was sniffing out route combinations. He showcased a knack for overlapping zones and getting into throwing lanes. His tackling efficiency was improved, although it was a small sample size. Always been a bit of a bugaboo for him. Badly missed in that secondary throughout the year. Now, McLeod would obviously go on to restructure his deal after missing the bulk of the season with a torn MCL last year, which saved the Eagles $5 million this year. His 2020 year becomes voidable, so we don't know if this is going to be his last year as a Philadelphia Eagle, which is why the Eagles showed such heavy interest in bringing in safeties on official visits in the pre-draft process, even though ultimately they didn't draft one. Instead, they opted to go offense heavy in the first two rounds. But BLG, it is good to see McLeod back. It's a storyline I haven't heard mention of too much, and I think that needs to change based on how he played last year. In what capacity was McLeod involved in OTAs today?
Yeah, so McLeod, for the first time in front of the media, at least, you know, for all I know, he could have been practicing when we weren't there last week, but first time in front of the media, he was warming up with the team like he has been, and then he did some individual work, and then I'm pretty sure I saw him doing some group install with the defense, so that seems like pretty good to me. You know, not doing team drills yet, but the fact that he's doing something, you know, seems to be a good sign and probably points that he'll be back sooner than later. Much better than doing nothing or not even being there at practice at all, as is the case with like a Fletcher Cox or a Brandon Brooks, you know, guys that who are still kind of on the mend and healing. So that was encouraging to see. And I think one thing we might forget about with Rodney McLeod was how good he was in the Super Bowl. Like, he was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not always going to be that player. I don't think he's a superstar talent by any means. He can show up. He can have those big games. He's a good player, at the very least.
And he's aggressive. And when he gets on, he's a scent hound. He gets on it, man.
Yeah. So I think getting Rodney back is kind of like an underrated addition. You know, if he can get healthy and be effective coming off this ACL / MCL injury that he suffered early in the season last year. So hopefully, you know, he kind of just continues to progress nicely. It was good to see him back there today at practice, kind of getting one step closer. And there are obviously some other guys, too, that are making their way back.
Yeah, let's stay on the injury tip here. Doug Peterson had a lot of lower body injuries to report. The media was kind of giving him crap at the beginning of the press conference. So he talked about those a lot during his press conference. Do you have a list there of players that were not in attendance or just out today?
Yeah, so the usual guys were out in terms of, you know, Alshon, Lane Johnson. They're not attending OTAs. Malcolm Jenkins, obviously. Mm. Derek Burnett hasn't been able practice, I guess, still coming off of that shoulder. Jason Peters, obviously not, and that doesn't need to be at OTAs at 37 yeah. years old. So Nigel Bradham, Jalen Mills, Brandon Brooks, Fletcher Cox, all those guys were out. Miles Sanders still isn't practicing, which is a bummer. You know, last week Adam Schefter said that he was apparently like good to return and that yeah. you know, his hamstring injury wasn't serious, and I'm hoping that's still the case. Doug Peterson just said that he's being cautious with Miles Sanders. It's a bummer though. You know, you want to see him out. Like, he's one of the more interesting players we could possibly be watching in these practices. So hopefully, maybe he'll be out there. They practice next on Wednesday the 5th. If not, hopefully he'll be there for minicamp so we don't have to wait till training camp in July. Nelson Agholor wasn't practicing today. Not sure what's up with that. Could just be a day off. And then Mac Hollins, Mike. He exists still. He's alive. There's proof of this. I saw him running on a side field. He was moving pretty well. That's great to see. It's encouraging. And then Doug Peterson said he's quote-unquote optimistic that Mac Hollins will be ready for training camp. So hopefully that continues to go well there.
That was after the media pressed him a little bit on it, too. Yes. You could tell he really didn't. He wanted to be vague about it. He actually said that. He goes, oh, you want to start out vague? Okay, we'll talk about Mac Hollins.
Well, I'm glad he said optimistic. That makes me optimistic that he will finally be ready to be back because it's been too long. I miss Mac. I was watching some on a side tangent here. I was watching some of the I was watching Carson Wentz's 2017 highlights, and Mac showed up there, you know, a decent amount, not like a huge role, obviously, but he did contribute to the 2017 team. Like he was some kind of piece, and hopefully, you know, he can get back to that. That would be nice to see. Josh Adams was running alongside Mac Hollins, so he's working back from that shoulder injury that he has. And then Ronald Darby, Corey Clement, and Carlton Agudosi, very important. They were all doing some rehab stuff, so those guys are on the mend as well.
Yeah, you mentioned Mac Hollins and some of the highlights. I remember that the in 2017, it was the bomb against the Washington Redskins that went for six was a big play for Hollins. So hopefully he can do more of that for the Eagles. It is encouraging to just see him at all. So that's great. One more question on the defensive side of the ball for you before we go to break, and then we'll talk some offense. But Vinny Curry is back, and from what he described was a long offseason, essentially. And he is very hyped up to be back here in Philadelphia. We're definitely glad to have him back with the Chris Long retirement news coupled with that. But he's not only hyped to be back, he was hyped during practice today. Is that right?
Yeah. I don't know why, but for some reason, you know, Carson Wentz fires a slant or to J.J. Arcega-Whiteside on a slant. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, like, drops it, and Vinny Curry is just, like, going nuts. He's literally just barking like a dog. And then Timmy Jernigan runs up to him. He's like, all right. Oh, and I was like, guys, you know, it's June. I mean, I love the energy. It's great. Yeah. But it's, like, it's just kind of funny. It made me laugh.
Was he even in the vicinity of the play? Like, did he influence it?
Maybe a little bit. Like, maybe he got his hands up and he kind of made, like, Wentz lead it a little too much. But, like, yeah. I don't know. So I just think it's funny to see that. One more note quickly on the defense that I'll touch on is that Zach Brown was practicing for the first time today. He had been at practice last week after missing the first week entirely, but he didn't participate last week. Don't know if that was injury related or what. But he's running with the second team right now. It's actually him and LJ Fort, Kamu Grugier-Hill, and everyone's favorite, Nate Gary, were the first team linebackers. And there's obviously time for things to change there. But I do think it's a little interesting that the Eagles aren't just handing Brown the starting job. And I think that's fine to kind of make him work for it a little bit.
And Zach Brown was talking with the media after the practice, and he was talking about the culture that they kind of have in Philadelphia by saying, you know, there aren't really cliques. I got the running backs right by me over here, and I could talk with them. I could talk with the offensive linemen. I could talk with the wide receivers. Like, it's not real clicky in Philadelphia. Maybe that's a big change for him for what he is used to in Washington. It really wouldn't surprise me. And when we come back here on BGN Radio episode 57, we're going to be talking about the offensive side of the ball because we have to get to Carson Wentz and DeSean Jackson. Otherwise, it would not be BGN Radio. So keep it locked in here. We'll be back right after this.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
And we are back here on BGN Radio episode 57, brought to you by the fine folks at SB Nation and Bleeding Green Nation. Michael Kist here with Brandon Lee Gowton. Brandon, I was going through the timeline today, and let me tell you, I could not scroll too far without coming across either a tweet or an article about Boston Scott, including, I think, Benjamin Solak is going to have an article up on bleedinggreennation.com about Boston Scott. But Doug Peterson was asked a question about a specific role, and that was the name that came up. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes Ben takes a while to get articles done. They're always great. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying. But this one, I mean, it's already up now, Mike. Ben already has his article up about Boston Scott. And to be fair to Ben, he actually wrote the Boston Scott signs to the Eagles roster from the Saints practice squad. So he's been over this the whole time. He has renounced his love for Donald Pumphrey. He is part of the hashtag Boston Scott Hive. I don't want to be down on Boston Scott. I'm not saying anything bad. Like, it's not like he necessarily did anything or has done anything like out of this world in spring practices. It's just kind of funny that Doug Peterson was asked about Darren Sproles, kind of like who could fit in his role. This was from Mike Silski. I don't know if Mike was purposely trying to get Doug Peterson to bring up Boston Scott without saying his name, or because, you know, that would make sense if it was right. Kind of like a nice little natural leading question there. But it's definitely worth noting that Doug threw that out, you know, because it's one thing when you ask a coach about a player directly and then they praise that guy. Like, that's fine. That's great. Yeah. But it's another thing, or at least it can be another thing, if you ask him a question and he kind of unprompted brings up a player. And that's what happened here with Boston Scott. So that's probably a decent sign for Boston Scott's stock. And as I've talked about with you, Mike, when you look at this punt returner situation, you know, it's Donald Pumphrey, it's Boston Scott, and then it's DeSean Jackson. And, you know, none of those guys other than DeSean, who could be probably just more of a rotational guy as a punt returner, is a surefire roster lock. But maybe, you know, Scott kind of has a good lead there potentially for that fourth running back spot. You know, he can return. He can, in theory, you know, catch passes and kind of be that Darren Sproles profile mold of a player. I think he's looked fine in practice. I don't have anything bad to say, but I don't think he's absolutely lit it up either. And I, to be fair, to me, like, running backs, you know, they typically don't like stand out a ton in, you know, these kind of practices. It's just different, you know, when you can't have the defense actually tackle them. You just don't get to see the full, you know, what they have. So I'm looking forward to seeing what Boston Scott can do this offseason. But and I'm not anyway against the Hive. I would never want to invoke the wrath of the Boston Scott Hive. But I just, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing more from him is what I'll say.
I was going to ask you, but you already kind of addressed it. What could he have possibly done in the span of the past couple of weeks to just be like, okay, this is the new Darren Sproles? I mean, Darren Sproles, they don't grow on trees, man. And we are just talking about a role. And he does. It's funny because he's got like a similar build to height, weight, all that stuff. And, you know, he's a shifty kind of guy. But we'll see when preseason comes, you know, can he pick up certain blitzes? Is he breaking tackles? You know, is he taking care of the ball on special teams in that live fire? So that'll be really where he earns it. But it's encouraging to see that he might have a path to the roster, and we're getting some better overall running back play out of this group than what we got last year. That's going to be extremely important for this offense. And speaking of being important for the offense, especially in the long term, Jordan Mailata had some struggles today. He was benched today. Super serious news with Jordan Mailata.
I mean, the experiment's over. You know, rein it in. Two plays, I think, a couple plays after false starting. So, you know, something he has to work on. I think he's done an okay job overall with the first team unit. You know, he's going up against Brandon Graham, so it's not an easy assignment for him. And I saw at one point Brandon Graham and Jordan Mailata kind of, you know, they gave each other like a high five or whatever.
Nice.
I didn't see exactly what happened there. Maybe that's Graham kind of giving him some respect, impressed with him, or maybe they kind of just got a little tussled up and they just wanted to make sure everything was clean and good. Yeah. And, you know, nothing happened that was too dirty on purpose. Same thing with the running back position. Like, to me, it's just kind of hard to get that full gauge of what you're getting out of your linemen when, you know, they can only really, they're limited in what they can really do. And you know, it's not like Brandon Graham is absolutely going all out to bear down on Carson Wentz and try to actually hit him and hurt him, because that would not be very good. So tough to get a real good gauge, but he certainly looks the part still. I mean, obviously we know that Jordan Mailata is huge, but just like, that kind of just reinforces it. Just looking at him today, I was like, man, he's just so big.
It would be nice to have him really be what people are kind of like, they're putting unfair expectations on him, in my opinion. But if he can be like a solid NFL player, that is some fantastic depth that you have at tackle for the Eagles in 2019 and moving forward, which would be great for protecting quarterback. Speaking of the quarterback, BLG, I can't believe we've gotten this far without really digging into Carson Wentz's performance, but let's get into it. Let's talk about the chemistry being built between Wentz and DeSean Jackson, because as you said on Twitter, Wentz really seems to have a fondness for throwing to DeSean. And I know I've often said that there are route trees, that being, you know, what Carson Wentz throws well versus what DeSean Jackson runs well. I've often said that those two marry really well. And I don't think I've cited the actual statistic behind that in a while, but that comes from Sharp Football, friend of the show, Warren Sharp. The reason I say that they line up and marry well is because in terms of success rate, you're talking about out routes, curls, digs, comebacks, slants. They're all throws that Carson makes with regularity, has a high success rate, and they're all routes that DeSean Jackson sees success with as well. So it's not just the deep ball, but of course we're going to talk about the deep ball, but that is an attractive part of it for sure. BLG, how is the new pairing coming along?
It's looking really good, Mike. same thing as last week. It's just Carson, it almost feels like he's throwing to DeSean in every play, which is hashtag too much DeSean is the new hashtag too much Ertz.
Yeah.
Although that'd be a really good problem to have. I think if Carson is throwing to DeSean a lot, and it's not like he's forcing the ball his way. I want to be clear on that. It's not like, you know, everyone's covered. You know, he's forcing a ball to DeSean and someone else is running wide open. No, like DeSean is getting open. And to be fair, you know, this kind of practice environment is what DeSean Jackson should dominate. You know, they can't really touch him. They can't get his hands on him. There's no press. And, you know, so he has a lot of freedom to get open, but still, I mean, like other players have that same thing and they're not nearly as dominant as DeSean has been in these practices. It's not just the speed, although you still see that there, very much so. A play today where DeSean is running on a crosser and Wentz hits him, and poor Stanford undrafted rookie free agent Joey Alfieri somehow is lined up with trying to get DeSean out of bounds or tackle him. And the guy just, didn't stand a chance. DeSean got up the sideline in a quick hurry. You see the speed there. Wentz had a deep completion to DeSean. That was good to see. He had another one that Wentz underthrew a little bit and was broken up by Jeremiah McKinnon. Not exactly, you know, the most fearsome defensive back. So I think from what I take from that is the timing could still afford to improve on the deep ball with Wentz and DeSean. And I think that'll come. They'll get those reps, not only here, but in training camp as well.
Really, usually not a problem for Wentz. You're telling me that I got a guy that can outrun my deep ball. You really want to see, you know, a moonshot from Wentz. I think DeSean's going to get it out of him.
Yeah, if anything, usually you see Wentz like overthrowing maybe a little bit as opposed to another throw. But the other thing that stands out about DeSean is his route running. There was a play today where he just got wide open in the back corner of the end zone. And I wasn't looking right at him the whole play, so I don't know exactly how it happened. But it happened there was some reason why he was just standing there all by himself. And I think that stood out a lot with DeSean. Just his ability to get open, not only using his speed, but his, you know, just precision route running. So that's good to see as well. Those two guys, Wentz and DeSean, clearly just already have a strong chemistry, and that's really just impressive. I mean, these guys haven't had a lot of time to work with each other. I think the chemistry speaks to both the talent of both of those players, like Carson Wentz being really good and DeSean being really good, and just being able to kind of make almost any quarterback look even better than they already are. So great to see those guys, you know, really teaming up, especially, and, you know, part of this is because, you know, Alshon Jeffery isn't here, which is kind of a bummer. And I'd like to kind of go on that a little bit more, Mike, is that, like, I don't want to, you know, I'm not going to get all old man yells at cloud on Alshon. It's voluntary. I get it. But one of the biggest things with him and Wentz is, like, they haven't had a lot of practice time. Because in 2017, it was Alshon who was dealing with that, you know, torn rotator cuff. He missed a lot of training camp last year. Both Alshon and Wentz didn't really, you know, practice much in the offseason because they were both hurt. Mm. And it would just be nice if, you know, Alshon was out there and he was kind of building more of a rapport with Wentz, because we need to see that. That was something we didn't see enough, really, in 2018. And maybe those guys will figure it out in training camp. So I'm not trying to say, you know, it's all over and just because he's not at OTAs, but and maybe even at minicamp next week, you know, Alshon will be back and those two guys will get something going. But I'd like to see that with those two building in chemistry. So hopefully we see that happen.
Yeah, I could definitely see your point there, because they really have, I mean, they've really kind of mistimed things with their injuries and all the offseason stuff with them. So building that chemistry as Carson Wentz and DeSean Jackson are doing right now would be fantastic. And, you know, you talk about other guys who are missing time. Why is it important? It's not as important for Alshon Jeffery because he's a veteran. He doesn't, you know, need to necessarily have to learn the playbook at this stage. He already knows it. But for a guy like Miles Sanders, that's a little more important, especially when it comes to like picking up pass protections, which was a weakness for him in college. So it's not that big of a deal, but you do want to see him there. And again, we're not trying to yell at the cloud, as BLG said, but at the same time, yeah, you do want to be able to develop that chemistry between Jeffery and Wentz. I'm sure it'll be fine once the season starts, training camp starts, they'll get into the rhythm and everything will be nice and rosy. But right now, I mean, I definitely would like to see them building a rapport with each other, because it always kind of felt like, and I think a lot of the fans have echoed this statement to me as well, that Jeffery and Wentz weren't as cohesive as Jeffery and Foles. So hopefully they can erase that this season moving forward. BLG, any other notes on the offensive side of the ball before we get out of here today?
Not really. You know, this is the final week of OTA practice. Wednesday will be the final OTA practice open to the media. That's June 5th. And then next week, obviously, begins mandatory minicamp. It'll be the 11th and the 12th. Those will be the really 2 days of practice that they have that are actual, really kind of worthwhile. The last day, this will be Thursday to the 13th, is usually kind of just like a BS day. It's the getaway day. It's like the last day of summer, basically, for the guys. And they kind of run through like a light practice and then it's all over. So we will be here with you, as always, breaking it down, giving you the updates. So we'll be back on Wednesday with another post-OTA update. You know, hopefully things continue to go well. Carson Wentz continues to look good. You know, it's great to see. Again, you talk about this team and their upside. For all the skepticism that there is out there about Carson Wentz, and there's a good amount, there's a decent amount you see from people, it's kind of hard. And like they might be like, oh, these practices don't mean anything. Well, I mean, if that's your take, like, okay, great, but like I'm telling you, he looks good, and I'm not making that up. Like he's right. And what else am I supposed to say? Like he's right. Looking good. Like that's the reality of what it is right now. And when you see that, it's hard not to get excited about what that what that kind of projection could be for this season. So I've been saying for a long time now that I'm much more excited for the 2019 season than I was for the 2018 season, just because in part, like last year felt like one big year, and now it feels like a fresh start, a new year. Carson Wentz is healthy, so I'm really excited. I can just keep only getting more excited by seeing Carson Wentz look good. So hopefully they just keep that kind of positive momentum going here.
Yeah, I think the only thing that can derail this team, and you talked about, you know, you alluded to last year just being one long year between 2017, 2018, like a bridge, like the season really never got started. And then, you know, they ranked 31st in adjusted games loss. It doesn't feel like that this year. I feel like the parade is a long time ago, and now this team has to go out there and prove themselves. So we'll keep you updated here at BGN Radio. We are definitely excited for this Philadelphia Eagles team entering this summer. We're going to have tons of content for you, as I told you at the top of the show. New Kiss and Solak show, new QB Sco show, another BGN Radio coming to you this week as they do press conferences. We'll throw up some at the podiums, but that's going to do it for us today. And BLG, I've had such a problem, such an awkward ending to so many of these episodes because I'm not the regular host here on BGN Radio. Usually it's John Stolness, but we get together for these. So I'm gonna import an ending that I have from the Kist and Solak show to really help me get through this. So we all we got, you want to pitch in for the all we need?
We all we need.
Fly, Eagles, fly. That was just as awkward, BLG.
It's good enough. Been a little too nice to y'all. Now I got to up price on y'all. Snake eyes on dice for y'all. Shoulders on ice for y'all. Frozen. 86 all the hate. I won't get a ball today. Got lost in the ball and age. I'm flipping the ball.
BGN.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.